This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
We are going to have Macca's opinion, which we haven't, I haven't heard for a while, Macca, so.
Haven't you?
Well, I wasn't here last week, and the week before I think we actually did something else.
I'm always happy to surrender this segment, you know, if there's something else we want to talk about. No problem at all.
So what do you want to talk about today, Macca?
Look, it's a couple of things, Tass. We touched on it a bit with Misha, and we spoke about it also at the start of the show. I spend a lot of time at home. I work from home. I watch a lot of the international news on YouTube, which is great, you know, because I love PBS in the States. Do you watch PBS or do you get to watch PBS? You don't.
No.
You can watch it on YouTube, for example.
No, we only have free-to-air.
Yeah, but anyway, so I watch a lot of news, and what comes across to me is as you observe politicians speaking, and even when what they're saying has to be translated, either because it's in another language or they're being ridiculous, what comes across really strongly is whether they're being honest and whether they're authentic. And, you know, this is like a four-leaf clover. It's actually quite rare to see honesty and authenticity in a politician. And particularly obvious in...
Jeez, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about most of them. But particularly, I had the misfortune this morning to re-watch Donald Trump's national emergency announcement. We're calling a national emergency, two very big words. Well, as I said earlier, there's two very big words to describe President Trump, which is ridiculously dystopian. Google it, dystopian. This is, you know, oh, we're having some terrific results with the tests, you know. They haven't had hardly any tests, right? The cost of a test in the US is nearly $1,000, right? That might have something to do with why they haven't had any tests. But it's the response from politicians to the coronavirus. There's a lack of authenticity. There's a lack of honesty. One that came close was Boris Johnson when he said, you know, this is the biggest health crisis of our generation. And he then went on to say that, unfortunately, a lot of families are going to lose, you know, senior members of their family before their time. So he put it in a nice way, basically saying, you know what, we're in serious trouble and people are going to die, and particularly a lot of, you know, older people. So for me, what is actually needed is clear messaging, honesty with people, be authentic and tell it as it is. And, you know, the politicians are skirting around it. I know there's an element of not wanting to cause panic, but we're going to get to this point fairly soon, right, where don't think that it's not going to be the case that the Australia is going to be effectively shut down like Italy and Greece and other places, you know, already, you know, part of New York, right? Don't think we're not going to get to that place. We are. Daniel Andrews has already said we're going to get to that place. Well, they should be saying that now, moderating the message in a certain way, but actually being honest. And I don't think that honesty is always there. So that's what concerns me. I had a discussion with a senior Liberal in Canberra, or a couple actually, but one in particular, and he was talking about, you know, the $23 billion, you know, reaction to coronavirus. You know, the incentives and what the government was doing. You know,
the stimulus, $17.5 billion.
Well, in total's 23, but six of it comes back. Is basically money that goes out one door and comes in another. And he said, "Oh, yeah, it's a lot of money." And I said, "You know what it's going to cost this country by the time we get through this and we're in a position where we can say we have this under control, we're having virtually no infections, right? We have this under control. You're going to be looking north of $100 billion, if not $150 billion. Serious money. And, you know, this is just the start of it. And, you know, I'm concerned that our leaders are not being honest with us.
Macker, I heard the Victorian Premier say the other day, when he launched the public health plan, the public health pandemic plan, he said that we will be asking Victorians to do things that they've never done before.
And they
will be difficult,
he said. I'm not including, you know, the Premier in that, right? I'm saying not all politicians. You know, he's being pretty upfront about it. The language is really important. But again, we're not getting that. You know, when I look at, you know, look at Italy, you know, the situation that they're in, Greece, you know, parts of the US, you know, the UK, and one wonders, why did Donald Trump exclude the UK from the travel ban? Is it because he got a couple of golf courses in the UK? Well, you know, one has to wonder. Like, what's the rationale behind it? You know, in one moment he's saying, you know, anyone that wants a test can have a test. And then the people from the public health officials are testifying to Congress, well, that's actually not the case. You know, this is why I think we're in really dangerous territory, because people are expecting, in times like this, and Tass and I have had this discussion, I've said, in times like this, you know, people don't give a toss about the surplus. They don't give a toss about all that other stuff. What they care about and what they expect is their government to step up and to provide the services as much as it can and provide as much protection as it can for the community, regardless of cost, right? Have a budget surplus, you know, a lot more people die, or a deficit and people live. That's the reality. That's what people want. They want the government to step up. They want the government to provide the services as much as they can. They want them to be honest, and I don't think that's happening.
So, Makaram, you've given us your opinion about the way in which the Grand Prix matter was handled.
What a debacle.
I accept that. Tell us a bit about how you think the rest of, you know, locally in our own community, how we're responding to coronavirus.
Look,
are you satisfied with the way in which our leaders are driving?
Look, pretty much. I think it needs to go to another level, and I understand, you know, I understand this, that you need to stage this response. You know, people say, oh, look, we're not at the level where we need to do this. You know, in business, in public relations, there's an old saying, your first loss is your best loss, right? Now, what we need to do is we need to ramp this up more. Why they've picked 500, right? I know why they picked 500. It's a political thing. Oh, we don't want to, you know, we don't really want to frighten the horses. The reality is, if we want to flatten out the infection rate of this virus, we've pretty much got to shut down. That's my perspective. Look at St. Louis and Cincinnati during the Spanish flu. One city did one thing, and Cincinnati did one thing, and their death rate was 7%. St. Louis basically shut down right from the start. It was around 1%, right? It's no different. We need to act more. We are getting some good responses. I think people understand this. What disturbs me is, you know, this Dylan and I called it earlier, not a herd mentality around toilet paper, a turd mentality, right? We actually need to understand governments can only do so much. It's up to us as individuals, but government provides, you know, the environment in which we live, in which we, you know, how we're able to respond, and government needs to step up. It needs to step up much, much more.
Thank you for your opinion, Macca. It's always wonderful to hear what you have to say.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful, actually. We've had a few messages from some of our listeners, and we've had some very positive feedback to the calm approach that we've adopted in talking about coronavirus or COVID-19, as its official name is. I want to just remind our listeners of our little slogan this morning, our four C's, Macca.
Our four C's.
What do they mean again?
Which is, the first C is to be calm, right? Unless you've actually got a warehouse at home, you don't need as much toilet paper as you're buying, right? You'll probably never eat all those tinned tomatoes. Unless you're planning on swimming in it, you've probably got too much hand sanitizer, right? So be calm. Contain, and that means you need to make sure that you're doing everything you can to contain the spread of the virus, both from getting it or from transmitting it. You need to be clean. You need to wash your hands as often as you can bear it, because guess what? The skin will grow back, and the more you wash your hands and the more you wash it properly and the less you touch your face, the less likely you are to contract. And if none of this is working for you, ultimately you need to check. And by check, I mean, 1-800-675-398. If you have any concerns, you have questions.
Or the DHS website, Macca.
DHHS website. And don't call 000, right? Don't call 000. If you're fearful, ring that number. If you want to get a test, right, there are certain requirements, that they expect. 26 million people can't have a test, right? But the test is there for people that believe they might have. I mean, the rules. Test. What's the sort of the boundaries around going for a test? It's about you believe you might have been exposed to someone who's contracted or may have contracted.
So, quite simply, there's an assessment schedule that you go through that really looks at what contact you've had, where you've been, and who you've been with. So if you've had any contact with somebody who does have the virus,
of course,
you'll almost automatically be tested. If you've been to places where there is a high prevalence of a virus present, you will automatically be tested. And if you have signs and symptoms, and the signs and symptoms are sore throat, feeling a fever, hot.
Particularly, is it a dry cough?
I don't know the answer to that, Macca.
I encourage people to look at the DHHS website and the coronavirus sick. And if you are going to go to your GP in the mistaken belief that they're going to be able to give you a test, which most of them can't because they have limited availability of it, call the doctor's surgery first to let them know that you're coming in for a test.
We're getting a lot of messages, Macca. I do want to first of all acknowledge some of our regulars. 317, always lovely to hear from you. And Melina Smith, great to hear from you. But we've had some feedback from Dave from Sydney who says that it's not correct to actually compare the Spanish flu with what's occurring with the coronavirus. Different times, we don't have we now have much more technology and control knowledge than they had back then.
Absolutely. It's not apples with apples, but it's about taking strong action early, granted it was 100-odd years ago, versus taking action that's, a little bit slower. I acknowledge what you're saying, Dave. I agree with you. I merely used it as an example, but it is not apples and apples.
And we've also had some feedback from one of our listeners who said they've now spent nearly 2 hours on the hotline. So we might actually have to investigate that again, Macca. I can see how our systems will be overwhelmed and we are all going to have to be calm and patient in the way in which we deal with this.
And says, get a real doctor in next week. Yeah, I'm not a doctor. Tass is not a doctor.
I think we'll do that.
We've had in the past. I'd like to get we've had the deputy chief medical officer.
Yep.
Someone else I'd like to talk to is Bill Botell, who's well known within the HIV community.
Yeah, lessons learned from HIV and can they be applied in this context? Yeah. And I think that there are some very real lessons and things that we can actually transport into this environment.
Wash your hands.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.